You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we are continuing the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Brand New. We're talking about how Jesus changes everything. And here's the idea of this series. The idea is this. Christianity is not one more thing. Christianity is not about religion. It's not about trying harder. This is not about self-help. We're not putting spiritual band-aids on the areas of our lives that need fixing. This is about something completely brand new. Because at the heart of Christianity, at the center of what makes the church tick, it's what's held it all together for 2,000 years, is the very person of Jesus Christ. Not a set of doctrines, not a philosophy, not a set of teachings and beliefs. We're thankful for all of those things. We lean on those things. But at the very center of Christianity is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who walked this earth, who lived in flesh and blood, and he can change everything. And we read stories in the scripture about how Jesus encountered people. He healed people. He set people free. And I've got good news for you this morning, church. The scripture says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he could heal back then, if he could save back then, if he could set people free back then, he can do it today. That's good news. You already got good news 2 minutes into the sermon, okay? You can smile and be happy. I got good news for you this morning. Well, have you ever been in a situation where something was broken or out of sync for so long that you didn't even notice it anymore? Where are the people who wear glasses like me? Glasses and contacts. Come on, you're blind as a bat like me. If you didn't have your glasses on, we would have to lead you around by the hand this morning. Yeah, that's me. You ever had a stretch where like you were overdue to get to the eye doctor, like you hadn't been in years, and your eyes were like strained, and you were squinting, and you didn't even realize it, and you finally went to the eye doctor, and you got those new glasses, and you put them on, and it was like a miracle. Oh my gosh, I can see. Like, yes, I can actually see people's faces and read again. Like, you didn't even realize like that your eyes were like that broken because you're getting older, I hate to tell you. Maybe you bought a house. When you bought your house, there was something about your house that you wanted to change right away, right? And you're like, that thing, we're gonna put that at the top of our list. And what happened? You got into your house and life got busy. You had other bills to pay, other priorities, and you never made time for that thing. And that thing is still like that. Yeah, everybody have that one thing. Some of y'all are like, yep, you're looking and you're nudging your spouse. Yeah, we got that thing. And it comes up from time to time when family comes to stay with you. Somebody asks you about that. And you're like, yeah, we meant to fix that when we first moved into our house 35 years ago. We'll get to it one day. Okay, how about the parents? I think the parents will track with me on this. You know, parents, we're used to living with a certain normalcy related to the chaos and craziness of raising children. Can I get an amen, parents? It's just part of our lives, right? Like, you know, our friends who don't have kids, like, yeah, we just kind of laugh at them, the freedom that they experience. They don't know what life is really like, right? And so for us, so, you know, what happens is, you know, I have a house full of craziness and chaos because I've got three boys, plenty of broken furniture. Somebody's always getting hurt. Some kids always falling and hitting their head. Parents, have you noticed how often children hit their heads? Adults, when is the last time you actually fell and hit your head? You can't even remember a time you hit your head. Kids, they hit their heads all the time. It's amazing they don't all have brain damage. I mean, really. So somebody's always hitting their head. There's always a fight. Somebody's hitting somebody with a blunt object. Anything in my house can be turned into a weapon. I mean, anything. Kitchen utensils, whatever. They can all be used as weapons of warfare. Sometimes I feel more like a parole officer than a parent. Always breaking up fights, having to spray somebody with pepper spray, something. That's just life in my house. It's just craziness and chaos. And I laugh when, like, people, you know, carefree people who come over, like our friends who don't have kids. And, you know, inevitably one of our kids gets hurt and he's laying on the ground, like, screaming bloody murder. And, like, that person always jumps up and runs over to our child right away while Amy and I are just sitting comfortably on the couch. We're like, this happens 10 times a day. We're like, turn him over. Is there any blood gushing out? No, he's good. He's fine. Because it's just the normal chaos of our lives, right? It's been that way for so long, we don't even notice it anymore. Today, we're going to look at the story of a woman who her life had been broken for so long. It was almost like she had just gotten used to it. She didn't even notice it anymore. And so what we're doing in this series is we're looking at different stories in the Gospels, these accounts of Jesus's life. And we're looking at people who interacted with Jesus. They had this experience with Jesus where he met them and he touched their lives and he changed everything. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 13. If you have a Bible, that's in the New Testament, second half of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third Gospel, find that. If you have a digital device, I'm teaching from the NIV today. The words are going to be on the screen. So in the Gospel of Luke, Luke's account of Jesus' life, Jesus has been teaching, he's been preaching, he's been healing people, and he comes to the synagogue on this day, on the Sabbath, and he has this amazing encounter with this woman. So Luke chapter 13, are you ready to go? We're going to look at verses 10 through 13, but let's look at 10 and 11 first. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Now stop right there for just a moment. Okay, so here's Jesus. He's in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Quite often Jesus was invited as a rabbi to be a teacher in the synagogue, to teach from the law and the prophets as was customary. And on this day there was a woman there, and the scripture says she had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now, the Gospels tell us that many of the illnesses that Jesus healed people from and delivered them from, they were actually the result of spiritual forces, of demonic oppression, and a spiritual affliction. See, Jesus understood that his ministry had a spiritual nature. He understood what he was doing on this planet, that he came to wage spiritual warfare against forces of darkness. He understood that there was a battle going on between good and evil. Now, I know for many of you, as logical, rational, Western, sophisticated human beings, the thought of like spiritual forces and demonic activity seems a little bit superstitious, like something from a horror movie or something like that. I know, I get it. Now, many of you, because we're a global church, this is New York, many of you come from parts of the world like Africa and Central America, other places that are very much in touch with the spiritual, and that's not odd to you as well. But for you New Yorkers, for you Westerners at heart, let me just help you out for a moment, because I think sometimes we struggle with this. Can I just tell you what spiritual affliction looks like today in modern times in the Western world? When someone has a spiritual affliction now, what we do is we take them to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist gives them a very fancy diagnosis, dopes them up on medicine, and locks them away for a long time in the mental ward. That's what we do in America. Okay, just so you know, all right? If you don't believe in spiritual affliction, just put on the news. Hello? If you don't believe in spiritual oppression, have you ever driven on the 95 in New York City? I'm telling you, people are possessed, okay? Yeah, this is real. Just put on the news and look at the things that people are doing to each other. Think about 9/11. You think those hijackers just had a mental problem? No, there's a spiritual problem there. The face of evil, right? I mean, you think about what possesses someone to go buy an AR-15 and walk into a school and shoot up a bunch of children. There's a spiritual struggle going on in this world. Did you notice the way I phrased that question? What possesses a person to do something like that? That's the question we ask ourselves, right? Because we live in a spiritually afflicted culture, even if our culture isn't comfortable using that language. And Jesus understood this. Now, don't get me wrong this morning. I'm not saying that every illness that you have is caused by spiritual warfare, okay? If your child has a cold today and you see me out in the lobby, please do not come to me and ask me to perform an exorcism on your child, because they probably just have a virus. Now, some of you, your children need to be exercised, but that's a whole different story. Yeah. Some of you are like, yes, please, Pastor, pray for me. Cast the demon out of this child, please. I feel you. I feel you this morning. So it's not that every sickness is a result of spiritual forces. It's not that every bad thing that happens to you, oh, Pastor, I ran out of gas the other day on the way to work. The devil's trying to get me. No, stupid, put gas in your car. Okay? One of my favorite pastors, Pastor Chris Hodges, who's kind of a mentor remotely to me, he says, I don't believe there's a demon under every rock, but probably under every other rock. See, here's the thing. We have to realize that the struggles that we face in life, they're of more of a spiritual nature than we sometimes realize. You know, the scripture says, Paul says in Ephesians, that we wrestle, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. There is a spiritual war raging in the heavenlies. The truth is, you are born on a battlefield. There's a battle happening between good and evil. Jesus understood that. He understood that his ministry was a direct assault on the enemy, that he came to set people free, and he understood there was a spiritual battle happening. So I want to tell you, there are some things in your life, some problems in your life, not every problem, but they're of more of a spiritual nature than you realize, and that's what this woman was experiencing here. And so her problem, the manifestation of her problem, was that she was crippled, okay? She was bent over. She couldn't stand upright. There's a picture there. This woman was crippled, and can you imagine? She was crippled. She was bent over. She was stiff, probably in a lot of pain. And here's the thing. This may seem odd to us, but I think we can actually relate to this woman, because we all have things in life that cripple us, that handicap us, that keep us from being everything that God intended us to be. Oh, you have things in your life that are crippling you, whether you realize it or not. We all have stuff. We all have junk. We all have stuff in our lives that hold us back from being everything that God desires us to be. Some of you, you struggle with a crippling mindset. It's your mindset that cripples you. You deal with negative thoughts. You tell yourself negative things. The voice that you hear in your head, and here's the truth, we all hear voices in our head, not just crazy people. We're all a little bit crazy. But the voices in your head are negative voices. Maybe when you were a kid, your teacher or your parents spoke something negative over your life, and it just kind of settled into you. And so you sabotage your own success because you speak negative things over your own life. Some of you, you're crippled in your relationship by past hurts. You can only get so far into a relationship with somebody, whether it's a romantic or a friendship or a family member. You can only get so far in that relationship because past hurts come up and you can't be vulnerable, you can't be authentic, you can't be genuine, and that hurt sabotages your relationships. It cripples you. Some of you, you're crippled by addiction. You're crippled by some self-destructive behavior that you find yourself turning to. It's a coping mechanism. For some of you, it's alcoholism. It's an actual disease. It's something that you wrestle with. For some of you, it may be abusing painkillers. For some people, it's overeating. Actually, there's like a real problem. I mean, now listen, I know we all do a little ice cream therapy every now and then, okay? But I mean, for some people, like, there's a compulsive eating habit. For some people, their addiction, they're crippled. It's of a sexual nature. Maybe it's a pornography addiction or something like that. Some people are crippled by anxiety. I know in this room, there are probably people who have serious issues with anxiety. It's something that's happening at an alarming rate in our nation. And maybe some of you actually are dealing with a physical sickness. Like it feels like it's something that holds you back. It handicaps you in life. And have you ever had a sense in life that you're struggling with something that's beyond your control? Like I've tried, I've thrown everything I can at this problem. I've tried self-help. I've really put a lot of effort into this, but no matter how hard I try, I can't seem to fix this thing. Maybe it's just your way of being in the world. Maybe it's a personality trait. It's a way of thinking that was passed on to you. It's an area of your life where you need freedom because there's a handicap there. It cripples you. Have you ever felt like life could be healthy? Like I'm almost there. Like I could be successful except for this one thing. Right? Anybody got that one thing? This one thing that always seems to hold me back from getting there. I think we can identify with this woman a lot more than maybe we think at first because we all have stuff that cripples us in life. And so she comes into the synagogue that day to worship, and Jesus is there. Look at verse 12. It says, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Wow, so here's this woman. She's had this spiritual affliction manifested in this physical illness of being bent over, stiff. She comes into the synagogue that day, and she meets Jesus, and everything changes in a moment. He heals her, has this amazing encounter with Jesus. And here's the fascinating thing. I don't know if you caught this, but she had been this way for 18 years. Can you imagine 18 years? Like this had become normal for this woman. And side note, here she was in the synagogue that day. Notice that none of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the religious leaders had been able to heal her. Notice that religion never heals you, but Jesus can set you free in a way that religion can't. Side note, that's a message for another time, right? But here she is, she's in a synagogue, she's been this way for 18 years. You know, in many of Jesus' miracles, the person who's sick or needs to be healed cries out to Jesus, right? The blind man cries out to Jesus, and the lepers go and seek out Jesus. We read a story last week about a woman who crawled through a crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment to be healed. But notice, this woman doesn't approach Jesus. This woman doesn't seek Jesus out. Jesus notices her and goes to her. See, she had been living this way for 18 years. This was her normal. Like, she was so used to this, she didn't even remember what life was like before she had been bent over and crippled in this situation. She wasn't blind. She wasn't lame to the point she couldn't walk. She was bent over, but she could still move. She could still make her way through life. It was just an awful condition to be in, but this had become normal for her. And here's the interesting thing. She even went to the synagogue to worship every week. Do you know it's possible to come to church every week, to lift your hands, to sing songs about Jesus, to hear God's word, to take communion, to fellowship with other people, and have areas of your life that are broken where you're not experiencing freedom? And you're here every week in God's presence. You know Jesus. Like, he forgave you of your sins, but there's areas of your life where you don't have freedom. And so what happens is we can actually learn to live this way. Some of us have been walking with Jesus for years, and there's areas of our lives where we're not experiencing freedom. And so we begin to learn to live this way. And here's how it usually shows up. It shows up in phrases like this: "It's always been this way." Come on, you heard that one before? It's always been this way. Like, no, you don't understand, Pastor. My family has always been this way. You know, like, no, my condition, it's always been this way. I've just had to learn to live with it. No, you know what I'm saying? My marriage has always been this way. My finances have always, they've always been this way. Always been this way. And we just kind of learn to live with it. Something's broken. Something's out of sync. Something's out of whack with God's best for our lives. But we've learned to just live with it, and we're not experiencing true freedom. And notice what Jesus says to this woman. This woman had lived this way for 18 years. This had become her normal until one day she meets Jesus, and he changes everything. And look at verse 12. He says to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Now, I would have expected, great Bible scholar that I am, I would have expected if I was there that day that Jesus would have said, like, "Woman, you are healed," right? Or, "Woman, stand up straight," you know, or, "Woman, your faith has saved you," right? Those are the kind of things that Jesus says. We kind of looked at a story like that last week. But notice he says to her, "You are set free from your infirmity." See, Jesus understood the nature of her problem. He understood it was a spiritual nature. And he doesn't say you're healed. He pronounces freedom over her life. See, Jesus understood that the work that he came to do, it wasn't just about saving her soul. It wasn't just about healing her body, but it was about setting her free. Jesus understood that he needed to bring freedom to people. Can I just tell you this morning that Jesus wants to bring freedom to your life? He doesn't want to just save your soul. That's important. I don't know about you, but I care about the condition of my soul and what happens to my soul. He doesn't want to just bring healing to your life. We all need healing in our lives, but he wants you to walk in freedom. Jesus said he came to bring freedom to our lives. And sometimes what happens is we find ourselves living in this cycle of repeated, like, failure and going back to the same old thing. And what happens is, like, many times we kind of have this driving need in our lives. It's there because we got hurt. It's there because we got neglected. It's there because something in our physiological, psychological makeup yearns for satisfaction, for love and acceptance. And so we find ourselves, even though we're not completely conscious, it's subconscious, we find ourselves turning to different things to try to satisfy that thing. Relationships, right? Some behavior, spending money, whatever it is. And sometimes those things can actually be unhealthy things. Sometimes we turn to good things, but sometimes we turn to unhealthy things. And what do those things do? They never satisfy. They only make things worse. Whatever your deal is, whatever that thing is for you, you end up coming back to the problem exhausted, empty-handed, and even worse off than you were before, because of the damage caused by that self-destructive behavior. And what do? We ask God for forgiveness. Everything's cool for a while until we start the cycle all over again. We fall back into that same thing. Another broken relationship. Finances blown on this or that. You know, find ourselves over whatever. Overeating, overdrinking, oversexing, whatever it is to try to find satisfaction. And we end up in the same place. And so we get in this cycle. And we're being forgiven through the whole thing. Can I just be honest with you? That's not freedom. You know, you can know Jesus and be walking through that same cycle, and you're not actually walking in freedom. That is not freedom. Do you know that is turning to Jesus for professional sin management services? That's what it is. That's what it's called, okay? It's going to him to just receive forgiveness. Now, I'm thankful his mercies are made new every day. I need God's forgiveness every day. Sign me up for his grace every day. But Jesus wants to save us. He wants to set us free. There's a work that he wants to do in your life. Freedom looks like something in your life. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to break you out of that cycle. He came to do something new in your life. God wants to set you free to become the person that he designed you to be. Listen to me. We are failing forward. Are you with me this morning, church? We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. We're going to mess up, but we're failing in the right direction. We may be tripping along the way, but come on, let's trip together. Oh, for some of y'all, that sounds weird because you grew up in the 70s. You're like, don't be saying that, Pastor, tripping together. But listen, we may be stumbling. Are you with me this morning? We may be stumbling along the way. We may mess up. We may have some setbacks, but we are works in progress. We are headed somewhere. And freedom looks like healing and release in certain areas to where we're not bound by the same old thing. Can I just be gut level honest with you this morning? There are some areas of my life that 10 years from now, I don't expect to be struggling with them in the same way. I expect to be at a level of victory that I don't experience even right now because I'm a work in progress. You have your stuff. I have my stuff. But I'm believing that God is changing me. He's working in my life. Jesus came to bring you transformation. Salvation is not just about a transaction by which you did business with God and you got forgiven. Salvation is about transformation. He didn't just come to save you from something. He came to make you into somebody. That's a good spot to say amen. His son, his daughter. He's making you into somebody. This is a work of transformation in your life. I just want to cheer you on this morning. If there's anybody in this place you haven't arrived yet, if there's anybody in this place this morning, you still got a few things that you're working out, you still got a few sinful habits, you're tempted to say a nasty word every now and then and think something nasty about somebody every now and then, it's okay. I'm here to pat you on the back and say, I love you. We're all works in progress. We're stumbling every now and then, but we're stumbling in the right direction. We're failing forward, and by God's grace, we are works in process, and we are going to get there. We're going to get there. And we're going to get there together. So Jesus changes everything because he frees us to live a new normal. It's not about going back to the same old thing. It's not about starting that cycle all over again to where our conscience is massaged, you know, and we put a Band-Aid on that thing and we can feel good for a little while, only to start the cycle all over again. No, he sets us free to experience a new normal. Remember earlier we talked about how sometimes something in our life is broken for so long we just get used to it, you know, like that thing in your house or whatever. Wouldn't it be amazing if the Holy Spirit was so much at work in your life over time that you didn't even notice how he was beginning to change you? Come on, wouldn't that be awesome to apply that thought in the positive so that you run into somebody that you haven't seen in years and you don't even notice it because the Holy Spirit's just been working in your life. You've been worshiping, you've been praying, you've been studying, you've been opening your heart, you've been in fellowship with people and you're growing, the Spirit's at work in your life and you run into somebody who hasn't seen you in years and they're like, something's different about you. Like, really, you've changed. Like, I remember you used to be angry. No, like, seriously, you were nasty. Like, you had a temper. Like, you could blow up at any time, but something, like, you're mellow. What kind of drugs are you taking, really? I don't know, seriously, what are you smoking? What are you on? And it's like, it's the Holy Spirit working in you, changing your life over time. So what, you didn't even notice it right away, but you ran into somebody else and they noticed it about you. Come on, it's called the new normal. It's the new normal for you, but wasn't normal for you by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a new normal. And you want to know what it looks like? It looks like freedom. It looks like freedom in your life. And so here's the thing. This woman, she didn't seek Jesus out that day. Jesus sought her out. But when Jesus came to her, she was open to being healed. She was like, yeah, that sounds really good. I would like to be out of this really bad situation where I'm bent over in pain, please. You know, I wake up a little bit stiff in the morning sometimes with my back. I can only imagine what this lady felt like. And so she embraced the healing. Can I just give you a few thoughts this morning on the second half of this message of how we can embrace the freedom that Jesus offers us? I want to invite you to take some notes, okay? Take out your phone, jot some of these things down. You received some note sheets when you came in. That is not just for doodling and drawing pictures when you get bored during the sermon. Stop. Write some notes down. Pray over them during the week, okay? Use this for your devotional time. How to embrace the freedom Jesus offers us. I want to give you three practical things. Number one, stay connected to God's presence. Everybody say presence. Stay connected to the presence of God. Come on, I can tell you this morning that one moment in the presence of God can change your life. This woman had been this way for 18 years, and she encountered Jesus one day, one moment in the synagogue, one Sabbath, and it completely changed her life. See, we've got to learn to tap into the presence of God, to cultivate a life filled with the presence of God, to live out of the Spirit's power in the grace of God. Are you with me? I'm tired of trying on my own. I'm tired of my own self-efforts. How many of you would say, yeah, I need the help of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God? Give me the help of the Holy Spirit, and God, please pour out your grace on me every day because I need it. Sign me up for my daily distribution of grace, please. And so you got to learn how to live with the sense of the presence of God. Let me give you a few scriptures. The Apostle Paul said this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He said, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He says, cultivate a life of the Spirit. Lean into the help of the Holy Spirit when you feel tempted. See, we tend to lean into the desires of the flesh. We tend to do things with this mind right here, the limitations of this mind every day. But Paul's saying, invite the Holy Spirit into your everyday. You know what it means to walk by the Spirit? That sounds like really weird. Like, Pastor, what am I going to do? Am I going to start levitating? Am I going to start floating or something? No, you're just to walk with the Spirit. It's just to invite the Holy Spirit into your day, every day, to be cognizant of God's presence. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. He said, now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let me give you a really profound thought this morning, okay? You want to know where to find the work of the Spirit in your life? Look for the places where there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know what that means? I went to seminary. It means where the Lord is, there's freedom. It means where the Holy Spirit is, there's freedom in your life. So if you want to know, like, what does that look like in my life? That sounds really mystical. That sounds really, like, you know, out there, like the work of the Spirit in my life. Look for areas of your life where you're experiencing freedom. breakthrough. Habits are being broken. Mindsets are changing. The condition of your soul, of your heart, is beginning to get healthier. Look for, you know what it's called, the fruit of the Spirit. Look for love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control. If you're beginning to experience some of those things in your life, if you're starting to see a little breakthrough here, a little breakthrough there, can I tell you that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Got to lean into that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So let me give you some practical thoughts. Prioritize being here. If you want to prioritize the presence of God, prioritize being here on Sunday morning. Let this day affect the other 6 days of the week until you can get back here. Be in God's presence. Prioritize being in His house, worshiping, being in fellowship with other believers. We need to be here. I'm thankful for podcasts, but nothing substitutes gathering together in God's presence as His family. You got to make this the priority of your life. Build your foundation on this. Cultivate a life of prayer and worship. I'm telling you, a moment in worship can change everything. I've been in seasons of my life where all I could do is worship. I couldn't even figure out what to do from Scripture. I couldn't, you know, there weren't answers in my mind. My friends couldn't help me. All I could do is get alone, lock the door, pray, and put some worship music on. That's all I could do. A couple years ago, when we were in the process of laying the foundation for this church, 4 years ago, I went through one of the worst seasons of anxiety in my life. I'd never experienced anything like this before, and some of you have, and you battle with anxiety. I would wake up in the morning, and it was like there was a heaviness on my chest and a sickness in my stomach. I mean, so bad that I wanted to go right back to sleep because I didn't want to feel that kind of pain gnawing at my stomach all through the day. It was awful. I could not shake it. I've never experienced that in my life. I mean, for the better part of a year, I struggled with anxiety. You know, I eventually went to a doctor to go see a doctor who, you know, because I was concerned I was going to have a heart attack or something. He actually gave me some medication to kind of help, you know, help with this anxiety problem. And I took it for a little while. And the truth is, honestly, it wasn't about the medicine. It was about God showing up in my life and some situations being resolved. But I can tell you this. There was something that had to happen in my life that can only happen in the presence of God. I'm not saying quit taking your medicine, because sometimes we need medicine as a part of our healing. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. There was something that I needed. I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful I went to. In fact, he was a Christian doctor. He tried to help me out. But there was something that I needed that I could only find alone in prayer with some worship music on, crying out to God. There's a little Catholic church at the end of my block. I'm Catholic during the week, and I'm Protestant on the weekends because I used to go to the Catholic church and pray. I love it in there. It's quiet. People come in, cross themselves, say a prayer, and leave. I have it all to myself. I'm the crazy Pentecostal guy walking circles around there praying. Okay, I used to be in there all the time. Now I've been kind of doing my nature walk thing. I've been kind of mixing up a little bit. But I used to go down to St. Gregory's all the time. And there's this one pew. And every now and then I walk past it. And I just kind of, I feel a little bit in motion, because I sit and I look at that pew and I say, God, I remember the day I sat in that pew full of anxiety, full of fear, full of worry and doubt about the future. And God, you met me in this pew. God, you were there for me. I cried out to you and I worshiped. And God, you didn't leave me hanging. You were faithful to me. And that little pew is a special spot in my life. It's a special little altar in my life where I met God. There is something that can happen in your life that can only happen in the presence of God. You get to hold on to the presence of God. Number two, stay connected to God's people. Everybody say people. Look at this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says this. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We've got to stay connected to God's people. Like, we need each other. Can I just give you a news flash this morning? God could have chosen to do His work in this world by any means possible. He's God. All options were open to Him. Hello. And He decided to leave a church, to leave a family, a body, a people. Like, He knew we needed each other. He knew we were better together. Like, this is God's plan. There's no plan B. What God is doing in the world today, He's doing through the Church of Jesus Christ, through the local expressions of His body. We believe the Church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And so we've got to lean into this. We've got to stay connected to God's people. I want to encourage you, be intentional about community. I'm in a life group because I need community. We have these things called life groups here. They're groups of people who get together during the week to encourage each other, to pray for each other, to study God's word together, to eat in fellowship and do life together. In fact, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to have life groups meet and greet, April 29th and May 6th, where you can get signed up for a group. You can go to the meet and greet and meet other people in your demographic, maybe someone in your neighborhood, or if you're married, or if you're a young couple or young professionals, whatever. We're going to try to get people connected. We're going to encourage you to even start your own group. Pick two or three people in church you want to do life with and start a new group. We empower you. We're going to give you everything you need. So we'll be talking about that more the next 2 weeks. But I really want to encourage you, don't miss out this time. Jump in. This life group cycle, it's going to start with our new series on May 6th. It's going to go 4 weeks. 4 weeks. We're not asking anybody to sign your life away. And here's what's going to happen when you get into a life group. You're going to find you have a place to be encouraged. You're going to meet some people who are going to pray for you. You're going to meet some people who have been where you've been. They're going through what you're going through. And they're real, authentic, genuine human beings. And we're going to love on each other. We're going to eat together. Come on, I love eating. We're going to have a good time together. My life group, the food is good. I'm there for the food, if nothing else. I mean, don't tell my life group I said that. I mean, the prayer and the worship and all is great. But man, the food's always good. Hello. So we fellowship. We have a good time together. So I want to encourage you, be intentional. Listen, we need each other. Can I tell you, I don't only have a life group, but I have a group of pastors. I'm in a coaching network called The Brotherhood. And it sounds a little bit cheesy, but we need each other. We need a brotherhood. I have some guys in my life who can pray for me, who can hold me accountable, who can call me up. We can talk through some things. They can challenge me. They can encourage me because we're holding each other up. We know we need each other to stay healthy as pastors. And let me say this final thought. Sometimes, for many of you, when you're going through a difficult season, or when you're stumbling and you've crashed and burned or whatever, the temptation is to pull away. I know for many of you, it's just your wiring. Your temptation is to isolate yourself. And I want to tell you this morning, that's really the last thing you need to do. Like that, when you're stumbling or when you're going through a season where it's dark or you feel alone, that's the time to run to fellowship. That's the time to pick up your phone. That's the time to go see a friend, because you cannot do this alone. Do not give in to the false belief this morning. This is what the enemy wants you to believe, that you can solve your problems by yourself. Because if you could do the spiritual walk alone by yourself, then God would not have had to invent this whole idea of the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay? If podcasts and Christian books were enough, I'm thankful for them, then you would never need to come here. You wouldn't need me, because there's plenty of people who can write and explain God's word better than me. But we need each other. We need other human beings. And can I tell you, when you've fallen, especially if you've given it into some area of your life where you need freedom, the scripture says that when we confess our sins to each other, that's how we find freedom. That's how we find healing. And I can tell you, most people in this church, they're going to love on you. They're going to be open. Nobody's going to be really surprised by your failure, because guess what? Let me just tell you a little secret this morning. We all got our own stuff. We all got our own junk. I can tell you, people come up to me from time to time and they confess something and we pray together. And there's not many times that somebody confesses something that I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, this person's really messed up. You know, I mean, I guess if somebody confessed to being an axe murderer or something like that, that might be a little bit, you know, I might be a little bit taken aback by that. But honestly, like most things people confess to me, you know what I usually think? I'm more impressed by the fact that they were open enough to share it with me. One of my favorite pastors, Pastor Mark Batterson, favorite authors, he says, I'm no longer surprised by people's sin. I'm surprised by people who have the courage to confess their sin. And that's true for me. When somebody comes to me and they bare their soul and they open their heart, I'm usually surprised by their courage. And I think to my first thought isn't to judge them. My first thought is to think, man, this person's going to find healing. This person's going to find freedom, because they get it. They get that it's about seeking out others. It's about opening your heart. It's not about doing this alone. So don't give in to that false belief that the enemy wants to speak into your heart to isolate you and to let you just listen to the voice of guilt and condemnation. Stay connected to God's people, because we're better together. We need each other. And then here's the third thing. Stay connected to God's process. Everybody say process. Stay connected to God's presence, to his people, and his process. Now listen to me. Sometimes, in a moment, Jesus can touch your life. In a moment of worship, in a moment of prayer, in a moment in a church service, that can happen. It's happened to me. It's happened to other people. I know people have experienced healing. They've experienced a moment of breakthrough, of freedom. Maybe for many of you, that happened for you during a church service, during a time of worship, during a time of prayer and crying out to God. That's amazing when that happens, and we thank God for those times. But you know, most often, What happens is God brings change to our lives through a process. How many of you have discovered that to be true? It takes time. It's God working in your life over time that really brings change to your life. You know what it's called? There's a fancy word for it. We call it the process of sanctification. It's the process by which we are being made more like Jesus. It's the process by which the Holy Spirit is working in your life to conform you to the image of Christ. That's what this is about. It's a process. God is working in you. He's chiseling, he's molding, he's shaping. He is the master artist who is shaping you into a work of art. Come on, turn to somebody and say, I'm a work of art in progress. Come on, just say it. Say it like you mean it. I'm a work of art in progress. Yeah. Just say it like you mean it. Yeah. We're works of art in progress. God's working in you. You're in process. And so here's the thing. If you need to experience freedom in a certain area of your life, if there's an area of temptation, if there's an area where you find yourself going back to the same old patterns of thinking, of behavior, of treating people, you got to set some boundaries. So you need a plan in place when you're not thinking clear. When you're thinking clear, you need a plan for what happens when you're not thinking clear. You need to set some boundaries. You need some safeguards in your life. You need some accountability. Have a plan in advance. That's the wisdom of God. That's working the process. God, I know what my weakness is. God, I know what my temptation is. God, I know I'm struggling with this. If I get around that person, if I go in that situation, if I stay up late at night and I'm on a computer at this time, I know I'm gonna have this problem. And so God, I'm gonna put some boundaries, some safeguards. I'm gonna get some accountability partners in my life, some people I can pick up and call the phone and say, would you pray for me? I need help in this area. That's work in the process. Can I just give you freedom this morning to get professional help if you need it? Seriously, if you need Christian counseling, go get it. A lot of people think, oh my gosh, like there's a stigma around getting counseling. Like counseling's only for really messed up people. No, it's not. We're all messed up. Here's the truth. If you go join a gym, okay, you expect people to celebrate. That's a good thing, right? Like your friends should encourage you. If your friends judge you, like, what's the matter with you? You out of shape or something? Like, yeah, hello, have you not noticed? I need to lose some weight. I'm huffing and puffing, just walking to the train, you know? Like, come on, I need to go. You need to get fit. Here's the thing. We celebrate people when they join a gym to go get fit. When you go into counseling, it's about getting emotionally and mentally fit. It's about getting healthy. Counseling's for healthy people. And so if you need a recommendation for a Christian counselor, email the church. We'll put you in touch with somebody. You might need to do that. You might need to rejoin that support group you used to be in or find a new one. Maybe you need to read some Christian books that speak to the very thing you're struggling with. Go on Amazon and find the highest rated book, right? You can find anything on Amazon you need, a Christian book. If you need some recommendations, I'd even say email the church. We'll try to help you out. Invest in yourself. Do some of the things that you can do. See, there's a part that only God can do by His Spirit, but we can cooperate with His grace. We can take that step. And can I give you just a final thought on work in the process? Run to healthy things, okay? Any basketball fans in the house? Anybody watching the NBA playoffs? Can I get an amen, somebody? I see some of y'all waving hands like, come on, Pastor, preach. For you basketball fans, you ever heard this phrase? I used to play basketball. The best defense is a good offense, right? Come on. Best defense is a good offense. If you're taking it to them, that's a pretty good way to win a ball game. Here's the thing. Don't just run away all the time from the things that are holding you back. Part of working the process is running to the healthy, God-ordained things that He created. Come on, God is the author of pleasure. God is the author of good things. There's plenty of healthy and good things you can enjoy in this world, and God is not shocked by those things. He created those things. So run to something healthy for your life. Run to your marriage. Run to your loved ones. Run to things that put you in a healthier place that don't leave you empty and exhausted and worn out. Run to those things. And see how freedom begins to be cultivated in your life. And can I speak to the people in the audience who have been working the process for a long time? Because I know some of you would say, Pastor, I've been praying. I've been trying. I've been in the struggle for so long. It's been years that I've been working the process. And I don't understand why I haven't received my healing yet. I don't know why my breakthrough hasn't happened yet. Can I just tell you this morning, it's okay. Can I just tell you, like, I feel you this morning that, you know, sometimes God's timing is not our timing. Can we just admit that this morning? Can we just admit that God is omniscient and infinite and resides outside of time and space, and we're just human beings who are limited to our little small perspective, and one day it's all going to make sense. But can we just be honest? Sometimes this side of heaven, stuff don't make sense. And it's okay this morning. It doesn't mean you're any less of a spiritual person or a Christian if you have a sense of that in your life. But can I encourage you this morning? Even when we're not sure what God is doing and what timetable He's on, we never have to doubt who He is. Because when you wonder what God is like on your worst days, when you can't figure out where God is or what He's doing, when you wonder what He's like, look no further than the person of Jesus Christ. The greatest picture of God the Father that we have is His Son. Jesus said, I did the things the Father told me to do. I said the things the Father told me to say. And we see Jesus loving people, embracing people, healing people, saving people, setting people free. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. That is who God is. And so I just want to encourage you. You hang in there. You keep trusting Him. You hold on to your faith. I believe whatever the enemy intended to be damage and evil and wrong in your life, that God is going to redeem it for His purpose. And He's going to show up in your life. He's going to be faithful. Let's hold on to His promises and believe that He is who He said He is. And so this morning, let's just come back to the story for just a moment as we close out and pray in just a moment. Come back to the story for a moment. Here's this lady. She's been bent over for 18 years. She comes into the synagogue this day, broken, stiff, in pain. She's been afflicted, this spiritual affliction for years. And think about her perspective. Her perspective is always looking down. Never meets someone and looks them in the eye. She's always looking down. People are always looking down on her. That is her view in life. She looks down and she's looked down upon. And one day she comes to the synagogue, and she's been going to the synagogue probably every day for 18 years, but something's different this day, because in the synagogue is the very person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He meets this woman and He changes her life and He lifts her. Come on, that's what God does in our lives. He lifts us. He lifts us from being bent over and handicapped and crippled, and He lifts us to a new place. And He lifts you and He changes your perspective. And here's this woman. He took this woman and He transformed her shame into dignity so that now she could walk upright. Now every person that she saw, she no longer encountered them looking down at their feet. She could look them in the eye. And now when they saw her, everybody knew that's that woman that Jesus touched. Her reputation was changed. And when they saw her eye to eye, everything was changed about her. New identity, new persona, new outlook, and new perspective in life. Can I leave you with a scripture this morning? Jesus said this in Luke chapter 4. At the outset of His ministry, when He was just kicking off His ministry, He went to the synagogue in His hometown one day of Nazareth, and they handed Him the scrolls. It was a scroll from Isaiah, and this is what He said. He read this, and He said, this is a prophecy that's fulfilled. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And then Jesus said, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. I'm here to set captives free. I'm here to proclaim a year, a season of the Lord's favor. And you know what people expected? They expected the Messiah to show up with judgment, to go in and kick the bad guys' butts and set everything to right. But Jesus said, no, I'm opening up a time of grace, of mercy, of favor, and I'm setting captives free. Listen to me this morning, church. Jesus is declaring freedom over your life this morning. Freedom over your life, not just so that you would be healed, not just so that your soul would be saved, but that you would be walking in freedom. And here's the beautiful thing. He meets you at the place where you've been crippled, where you've been hurt, where you've been broken. He touches that spot, and the spot that was your shame now becomes the place of your testimony, where you can show how God touched your life and He changes everything about your life. Now the very thing that held you back is the very thing you have to hold on to. It's your story. It's your testimony. And God uses that to bless somebody else. And so stand with me this morning as we pray today. And we're going to sing these words in just a moment. And sometimes the words of a song are more than just the lyrics of a song. They're a declaration we need to make today. So this song is going to be our prayer. But we're going to pray these words as we sing together. Chains fall, fear bow, here now. Jesus, You change everything. Come on, the same Jesus who healed this woman, the same Jesus who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lives healed, hope found, here now. Jesus, You change everything. Stand with me this morning. Just before we sing these words, would you pray with me? Would you open your heart today? Come on, let's pray together. Lord, we thank You today for Your word. Jesus, we thank You that the scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God, today we thank You that You want us to walk in freedom. Jesus, You are declaring freedom over our lives today. And so this morning, I pray that the faith level in this room would rise, that we would open our hearts, we would open our minds to trust You and to believe for everything that You want for us, that God, we would let go of the past, we would let go of past hurts, we would let go of anything that's holding us back from everything You desire us to be. I speak freedom over this church, over each person's life in this place today, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.